nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
A Chinese proverb said, "The man who removes a mountain begins by carrying away small stones." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who move mountains. Our first playmaker is a former combat fighter pilot, while our second playmaker wanted to be the character Darren on Bewitched. With us today is the CEO of a firm that matches employees to employers and is one of the fastest-growing private companies. While our next playmaker wants to be the one throat to choke for his clients. These great playmakers are David Bristol. David is CEO of Employee Solutions, and Douglas Ritter. Doug is president of USFI, and we're going to begin today's show with Doug. Doug Ritter is president of USFI, a marketing solutions company that creates desire for its clients' products and services. USFI is able to do what's best for their clients. They manage the creative, production, distribution, and warehousing of their clients' merchandising and promotional materials. As a result, their clients realize improved efficiencies and speed to market. Prior to USFI, Douglas was a partner at Ascend Marketing and has extensive telecom experience with AT&T, Verizon, and Nextera One, a sales, service, and distribution company for enterprise business communication systems. Doug, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. The first question is a little bit different. This should get the audience listening a little bit. How did the 1960s TV show Bewitched take you on the path to USFI?
Well, I have to say that I owe my whole career to this one specific TV show. The TV show starred a gentleman who was in advertising, married to a witch named Samantha. And certainly, I would have loved to have been married to Samantha,
too.
Yeah,
we all remember the nose back and, yes, forth, back and forth, right?
But what I really was fascinated about was that the Darren Stevens character worked for an advertising agency, and he was kind of a two-man shop, and he basically did the creative and was also the account person. As a young, impressionable boy watching that TV show, I knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wanted to be Darren Stevens and work at an advertising agency.
Hence, Bewitched got you started. So how did you get started in the industry? You've had a number of jobs, and if I recall from reading part of your bio, you struggled in finding the right job out of school, and you ended up in Minnesota.
Right.
Tell us the track you went on.
So when I was I finished my undergraduate career in journalism, and I was looking for a graduate school that was one of the top ones in the United States, and that led me to University of Minnesota grad school. Coming out of grad school, I wanted to be in advertising, but it's very hard to get a job in advertising. So I talked to a number of people, and they said, Doug, go into sales. It's very easy to get a job in sales. You'll pay for yourself. So I started out selling advertising. I spent 9 months at that job in Minneapolis. I actually sold Yellow Page space, and I spent every evening looking for a job at a real advertising agency. And after 9 months, I finally got a job in the BBDO training program for account executives in New York City.
Which is amazing, because BBDO is still a large agency, but back in those days, it was one of the largest agencies out there.
Correct. And it was on Madison Avenue in New York City. It's now part of Omnicom. But back then, I figured that I had arrived. I was 25 years old. I was working on Madison Avenue, and my career was just about to take off.
Well, going back a little farther, I want to hit your background first. You didn't grow up in the United States. You grew up in a foreign country.
No, that is correct. I was extremely fortunate in that my father's mentor at a large global conglomerate really loved Italy. So he moved the headquarters of this large conglomerate to Rome, Italy. And he liked my father, so he took my father along with him. They had perhaps 10 people at this headquarters, because the real headquarters of the company was back on 90 Park Avenue in Manhattan in New York City. But they had a small contingent over in Rome. So I remember my father coming home when I was a very small child and saying, "We're moving to Italy." And he showed us where on the map Rome was. And the family took off from what was then called Idlewild Airport. It's now called JFK in New York City, in Queens, actually. And we moved to Italy when I was a small boy, and we stayed there till the age of 15 or 16 when I came back to the U.S.
Probably helped your geography education, too, going to a different foreign country. But not only that, you use your journalism also to write a couple of books. One is on your background living in Italy.
Correct. I wrote a book called La Dolce Vita, An American Childhood in Rome in the 60s. People ask me, so how long did it take you to write this book? And I tell them, it took me 30 years to write that book, 28 years of thinking about writing the book, and then 2 years of actually writing the book.
That's what I hear from a lot of writers, too. And you wrote another book, which I have in front of me, called Succeeding with the 20 Seed Game. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I found myself at the age of about, I guess, 55 as a director of sales for an international manufacturing company, and I had never been in sales before. And the reason I got the job is because they told me it was going to be 90% marketing, 10% sales, and I figured, well, I can do that. My first day on the job, they switched it and said, Doug, you're in charge of a position that has 90% sales and maybe 10% marketing, really about 99% sales. And I thought, I better become a salesperson very quickly. Self-taught, read a lot of books on sales, developed a sales technique that still works to this day about a decade later. And a number of people said, Doug, that's a really interesting technique. Can you tell me about it in a seminar? I did a number of seminars, and then I thought, I better write this all down in a book. I did. It was called Succeeding with the 20 Seed Game, and I give away the book for free, the PDF of the book. If anyone who writes me, I send them the PDF.
You can get a hold of Doug in a couple of different ways. One is his website, which is at usfi.com. You can also check our website, playmakerstalkshow.com, and all of Doug's information is going to be there, too. Let's speak now specifically about the company that you're president of, which is USFI, because you just celebrated your 30th anniversary a few months ago, but you changed the game because USFI was nothing like it is now 30 years ago.
30 years ago, this company was a forms company for those people who remember forms and carbon paper.
So with NCR, no
yes,
carbon required?
That's correct. So this company was started by an individual who came out of a company also that has changed names. It was Burroughs. Burroughs is now part of Unisys. So the gentleman left Burroughs. He starts a company on his kitchen table, and he calls it United States Forms Incorporated.
USFI.
Hence USFI. And his first big customers, I believe, was Pearle Vision, because Pearle Vision back in those days actually used forms. So he sold a lot of forms, and customers would always ask him, can you do this? And this gentleman's mantra was always, yes. Whatever a customer says, just say yes. And gradually they said, well, can you do creative? Yes, we can do that. Can you build us a website? Yes, we can build a website. He kept saying yes, and then he'd go out and find the personnel to do that. So that's how he built his company, and 3 years ago he hired me.
Well, it's talked about in a article in the Dallas Business Journal. You're a true end-to-end solutions provider, and that's where I mentioned the top of the show. You're giving your clients one throat to choke. Tell us about what that means and how he came up with that.
Correct. So we are the one throat to choke. That means we're actually a VAR, evaluated reseller. So when we may not have all the back office personnel that someone needs to complete a project, we'll go out and hire that, or we'll go out and outsource that. But when a client deals with us, they don't have to deal with all those other hundred different entities or companies. They only have to deal with us. So we're that one throat to choke if anything goes wrong.
They know exactly who to go to.
Call me.
You have a number of areas you work in. One of them you do a lot of in the hotel key industry with the magnetic keys, but you're now involved with RIFD, which is radio frequency identification. Talk about how you're doing that and the type of clients you're working with.
Right. So USFI actually has close to 3,000 hotels that we do business with, and it's essentially about 600 companies that each have an average of about 4 properties. We don't deal a lot with what they call the branded chains, the Hiltons or the Marriotts, but we do deal a lot with the unbranded and exclusive hotels and resorts that may only have 4 or 5 properties, typically upscale. I think last year we we sold or manufactured and sold about 25 million key cards. So these are those ubiquitous key cards that you get two of to open your hotel door.
Now, you're doing the printing on these cards,
yes,
too, for them also.
Yes, that's correct. So we're printing and manufacturing all those and actually reselling them to the hotels. But about 2 years ago, some of the hotels started to change the way that they distribute those cards to people. Instead of just a mag stripe on the back, they have embedded a chip. And this is the radio frequency ID card. So RFID cards have now captured about 10% of the marketplace. And we have those manufactured for us and we resell them to a number of our clients.
And these are similar to cards that companies use for private areas.
Correct.
With it. They just, you just swipe it or rub it or move it right in front of the
correct
the element or the lock, and you get in your room.
Right. It's a little bit similar to what they call near field communications because it doesn't have to touch the reader. It just has to be with about a half inch away.
I know a lot of people steal, throw away, don't return their card.
We encourage that.
To keep the card.
We encourage people to keep
obviously,
their cards.
Obviously, from your point of view,
right.
It's you're making a lot more money.
That's correct.
But with the RFID, is there a lot more expense to the company?
That is also correct. We're still encouraging people to take those cards because you never know what's embedded, what information is embedded on that chip. So best to keep it.
And a lot of people are concerned about that. What part of my information is there, so I'm going to keep that card too. Some of them
right.
keep them for souvenirs also.
Right, and some people just return the cards to the desk and they change the frequency
right.
and so that it won't it can't be used to unlock the next person's door.
Well, you've worked with a lot of companies. You've turned around companies. One of the things you wrote was your greatest legacy will be turning around this company. Where does USFI go from here?
Up, fortunately. So I was very fortunate to take this company over approximately 2 years ago upon the unexpected and very sad demise of the previous owner and president, Faisal Ahmad. So when I took over the company, I had never seen the books. In fact, no one at the company, aside from the CFO and the owner, had ever seen the actual books. And I discovered that we were losing money. Losing money at a company is never a good thing to have happen, and it certainly is not going to keep the doors open. So I removed the CFO. I brought in a new CFO who I trusted implicitly from my old company. And together with some senior members of the team that existed there that were outstanding, we changed the business model slightly. We increased the margins. And last year, I'm proud to say that we eked out the smallest of profits, and this year we'll eke out a good expected profit on our revenue.
Well, as Doug said, this is a company that will say yes to what you need, so you can contact them. But let me we talked about that before. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of Doug Ritter and USFI.
Doug Ritter is very visible on LinkedIn, and I have a fairly broad digital footprint. Just do a search for Douglas Ritter in Dallas-Fort Worth as the venue, and I'll come up on LinkedIn, usually number one. Giving out email addresses over the air typically will
Douglas Ritter is easy to remember.
Yeah, but Douglas Ritter is pretty easy to remember. I usually have about the nine out of the top 10 hits on any Google search, along with one other survivalist.
And it's also USFI.com. Doug, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
Don't go away. We have another guest right after we take our break, and he's a former, as I mentioned before, former combat fighter pilot turned into an entrepreneur with a company called Employee Solutions. His name is David Bristol. He's CEO. We're going to talk to David right after this.
Are you a veteran? Do you need a job? The America's Future Series, in association with Dallas Baptist University, is having a free veteran hiring fair on Tuesday, August 12th at the Dallas campus of DBU. More than 50 Dallas area employers will be there in order to fill open positions with qualified veterans like you. You must register to attend, so go to americasfs.org and register today. That's americasfs.org. See you there.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. Our second guest is an entrepreneur. He is CEO of a company called Employee Solutions. His name is David Bristol. David is a serial entrepreneur and retired combat Air Force fighter pilot. He currently is CEO of Employee Solutions, one of the largest staffing firms in North Texas, which he started in 1997. Today, Employee Solutions has revenues in excess of $75 million, employs up to 3,000 temporary employees and 79 full-time corporate employees with 13 offices in Texas and Oklahoma. He is also a co-founder of Subassembly Group and Provider Solutions. Employee Solutions was named to the Inc. 5000 Fastest Growing List and the Dallas 100 for two consecutive years in 2012 and 2013. David, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I mentioned before that you were a combat fighter pilot with the Air Force. So how'd you go from being a combat fighter pilot to starting a staffing company?
Well, it was a interesting move. It was I had been living in Europe with my family for 6 years, and somewhere along the way, I had been away from home for 185 days, going out doing all the different missions that the Air Force had for us to do. And I decided with two young kids, I needed to have a little bit more stable home life. And so we decided to come back from Europe, and we lived in Wichita Falls. Along the way, my father-in-law and mother-in-law had a temporary staffing franchise, and I said, okay, that sounds like something I can do. So they taught me a little bit of the business, and we opened in 1997.
Going back to what you're talking about, were you originally going to be a career pilot?
Absolutely. I was a graduate of the Air Force Academy, and I was on the track to just continue on through. I wanted to be a four-star general, but I wanted to be able to fly all the time. And that doesn't necessarily work out the way it's supposed to. So flying all the time was my passion. Being a general was a path that I'd like to go on, but I would rather fly.
I can see how once you move up within the ranks, the flying time would get slimmer and slimmer along the way. Now, your in-laws had the franchise firm in for staffing. How did you get excited about that? I know they had it, but where did the excitement come from for you?
Well, it was really a culmination of several years of research. My brother-in-law and I actually started the company originally, and we looked at a franchise model. We thought, why shouldn't we do the model that my in-laws had already started? As we researched it, we discovered that we had almost the same amount of talent that we thought the people we would want to be the franchisee of had. And as the story continues, we have developed all those same sets of skills that the franchisors would have done for us. We have our own legal department, our own safety department, HR department, as well as the normal everyday staffing placement work that we do that you'd get from a franchisee. We do all our own advertising and our own marketing.
Well, you have been in the military, and you've also been in politics, more or less. Tell us about the time you spent, I don't know if it's politics per se, because I don't guess there's Republican-Democrat parties, but as the mayor pro tem of Prosper, Texas.
I was lucky enough to get elected to the Prosper Town Council. So Prosper, far north Dallas, where the Dallas Tollway ends, that's where our community begins. When we first moved to that town, it had 3,500 people, and now it's one of the fastest-growing cities in all of Texas and I think in the United States. So during that period of time, there was an opening for the town council, and I got elected by the people of Prosper and spent some time learning about how development occurs in North Texas and spent some time learning about how you try and satisfy the needs of all your citizens. Sometimes it's easier said than done. Some folks talk about preserving the majority, keeping what the majority of the people like. Well, that's still 49% of the people aren't happy with what you do. So the way I tell people now is I'm a retired politician. So much as I'm a retired military officer, I'm a retired politician.
I have spoken to a number of mayors, and I see a lot of entrepreneurs and business people going into, I guess, politics by running a city, and they're running it like a business now, which means the cities are run a lot better. I assume that's what happened with you too.
Very much so. We, as a small town at that time, we didn't have some of the best business practices in place, and that's not because of an issue. It's more of just it hasn't been exposed those type of things. There's professional town manager in place now. Our current mayor is very capable and many years of experience. So putting good business practices in place, such as in finance and insurance programs, all the different things make a big difference. And there's a lot of carryover from the collaborative effort of a group of citizens trying to run the town into business. And then there's also a corresponding amount that you can bring as a business person to that governmental agency. One of which the things that we found is it takes a lot of work to get everybody on the same page. Difference in business is sometimes you don't have to do that, but you certainly have a better product at the end of the day when you get everybody's input and you move forward as a team.
Well, let's go back to your time in the Air Force and your company, which is Employee Solutions. And by the way, it's EmployeeSolutions.com. How did your training in the Air Force prepare you to become an entrepreneur?
Well, it's a process of being a fighter pilot, took training and preparation. Those same characteristics are all part of what we do today at Employee Solutions. We've actually set up our own Employee Solutions Academy where we train our new hires. We actually then continue with recurring training on a monthly basis to keep them up to date with the latest in HR features and the new laws. So as a fighter pilot, it was training and preparation. We spent every day trying to figure out our flight paths, training for the different type of weapon systems we'd employ. And then the other thing is I learned flexibility because we had all these wonderful plans and it was supposed to happen exactly the way we planned. Inevitably, something would go wrong or go different than we planned. So that's the other thing I've carried over from my military flying career is the flexibility in the competitive marketplace. We don't get to execute the exact plan we wanted to, and very often it's not any part of our plan is where we end up, but we're flexible and we adapt to the environment as it changes.
Well, you are a veteran, you're in the Air Force, and you work with veterans who are looking for jobs. One of the promotional spots we had in between the two segments was for a job fair that's coming up with Dallas Baptist University. Talk about the skills veterans bring to the civilian workforce and how you work with them at Employee Solutions.
Obviously, as a veteran, I'm very committed to the needs of veterans coming out of our current armed forces. The key with veterans is they're a proven commodity, and the specific skill set's not the important thing. It's the ability that you know they can be counted on to show up for work on time, that they'll bring a good attitude with them to work, and that they will execute according to the plan that you've laid out for them. Veterans have all of those characteristics by virtue of their time in the military. And what we do at Employee Solutions is we search for those folks because the employers today need those kind of people. They're looking for folks who not necessarily a specific skill set, but someone who can then also be trained and learn the process that this whatever company is. And more importantly is leadership. There are veterans out there all over North Texas who've been placed in positions of leadership at a very young age, whether it be leading a platoon or a squadron of fighters. And they're asked to do things that translate very well to the civilian world in terms of leading a team of a production group or a manufacturing side. And they're also then very capable of handling the paperwork and the compliance that goes along with it.
Well, many of these veterans don't have the skill set necessarily that the job is offering, but I would think they know how to learn, they know how to take orders, and more importantly than having a skill set is the right kind of attitude. I think with the right attitude, they can learn how to do almost any job, and you're helping put
Absolutely.
Them in the right position.
Absolutely. Veterans have a lot of capabilities. You just got to get them trained for the specific position.
That's right. So how did you become a fast-growing company when the company is 17 years old?
That's an interesting story, isn't it? We started, and actually we were on the fastest growing lists for the staffing industry in 2005, 6, and 7, which made sense because our revenue was not anywhere near what it is today. So it's easier to hit those incremental growth targets. So today, our growth is based on our clients. The clients who've asked us to join them at a variety of different locations. So we started in North Texas. As we've grown, the incremental growth is with clients who said, hey, can you come down to Houston and do this work for us? We've started a facility in Houston with two offices now based on a client here in the Dallas area. The same thing in Tulsa. A client that we had here said, hey, can you put people to work in Tulsa? We said, of course. When do you want us there, and how much do we have to invest to get into the facility? The clients that we have, we're also very, very lucky in basing our business here in North Texas. The North Texas economic climate is great. There's no better place to do business than in North Texas, in particular in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We were lucky enough 17 years ago to plan ahead a little bit for that. We thought it would be a good place to do business, and we were right. As we continue, I think the economic policies for the area are going to continue this growth. Everywhere you look, you see cities in North Texas on the fastest growing lists of cities.
Well, it looks like with the 14 offices you have, and you have a lot here in the Metroplex, it's almost like spokes of the wheel from DFW being the hub out to Houston and Tulsa, so you can move in almost any direction, so you have potential to grow even further.
That's right. We're looking to continue actually an acquisition perhaps in Oklahoma. Houston, we have two offices, but the size of Houston, Houston's the largest city in Texas. We only have two offices. Our competitors have six and seven offices there, so we're looking to continue to grow in Houston. We have two offices in Austin, one in North and one in South Austin. So Houston, Tulsa are major growth areas, and as we go further from our base in Dallas, further to the west over into the Fort Worth area, we're continuing to grow over there.
A lot of potential. In the last 30 seconds or so, we have a lot of business people, entrepreneurs are listening. So what advice could you give those people, entrepreneurs, business owners, that can help them achieve success as you have?
My number one key would be conservative financial management. And that sounds like something everybody makes sense of to start with, but it really means don't overextend yourself with the commitments that, whether they be advertising, marketing, or staff. And what happens, we've been very conservative. The other is that make sure you understand the numbers. There's a lot of different ways to run businesses. The key for me is I have tried very hard to understand the numbers behind the way we finance a company. It's the lifeblood of all businesses is a cash flow.
There he is, the secrets of success. David, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
David Bristol, CEO of Employee Solutions, and you can check their website out at employeesolutions.com. Thank you to our guests for being here. Great show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all the replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. I'm Steve Klein. We're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. We will see you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.